we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Kent Courier, read by Peter Donaldson.
Wasps' nests destroyed. £20, OAPs £16.
Thanks to Derek Hines of Tunbridge Wells for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome, first on my right, Francis Ween and the newcomer, Stuart McConey. Challenging them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, whose party piece involved baring his teeth?
Oh, I think it's Paddy.
It is.
Field Marshal Sir Paddy Pantsdown. MC and bar. He, this born leader of men who can kill you with his little finger, I think, from his service in the special boat squadron, unfortunately finds himself leading a party of sort of herbivores and, snits. And it drives him mad. He storms around Brighton saying, you know, we must march towards the sound of gunfire, and they just sit there wanting proportional representation because there's this, report on, single transferable votes being done by Roy Jenkins. The third Y, as he's now called, by Tony Blair, and and so they've spent all week boring on about that sort of stuff, while Paddy wants to go around storming beachheads and things, and he said it was grow up, and then he grabbed a beer bottle and ripped the top of this beer bottle off with his bare teeth. I mean, most people have bare teeth, I suppose. And then all the Liberals, many of them dentists apparently, said this is not setting a good example to children because they could damage their teeth if they do this. Tough on lager and lime, tough on the causes of lager and lime.
Paddy was angling for a plum job and was about to denounce PR and all it stood for, but then was told, no, you can't do that. So then we had this image that he was going to have to go into Tony Blair and say, look, I hope you're not going to renege on PR because, as you well know, the current electoral system is corrupt and wicked, inefficient and returns entirely the wrong sort of party to a man with a majority of 160 plus. And there's a comment which is rather like, sort of, I thought, the director of Rotherham United going to Alex Ferguson and saying, now, the way I see it, 3 points for a defeat would be the right system.
They're very sweet, though, Liberals. They have a wonderful sense of outrage because the thing is that we on the left tend to be sceptical because we expect everything. Whereas Liberals are constantly appalled by things the establishment do because they haven't noticed that there's a pattern to these things that's emerged over the last few thousand years. They're very sweet, though, Liberals. They cycle a lot. Good, strong legs.
I feel sorry if you're a student of human geography A-level. It must be terrible when the Liberal conference comes round and one by one all your teachers as a man and woman stalk off to the seaside, leaving you with nothing to do. So.
You know, his real name's Jeremy. It's not Paddy at all. He just said that to give himself some kind of bogus Celtic credibility. Just a posh public school boy, really. And he looks like a tortoise.
What's your real name?
My real name's Pordrig.
Stuart, who explored the third way with Tony, having exhausted the other two?
Well, I think you might have been gentle with me. Is this a reference to, perhaps, Bill Clinton and his travails?
It is.
So it's 4-hour humiliating admission to the American people of all kinds of wickedness and sexual deviation and stuff like that, at the end of which, rather hearteningly, I see that his approval rating amongst the American people has gone up slightly, which is quite cheering. And perhaps I noticed that now the honeymoon period for our own glorious leader is over and his popularity has dipped. I was wondering whether he might, you know, take some advice and come out saying, now, look, you know, I'm not such an angel myself. I've got a couple of Catherine Cooksons that are way overdue, you know. So,
we were told it was going to be pure filth, this thing, and in fact it was rather dull. It was like, remember those old Brains Trust programs where every single question, someone like Professor Joad would say, well, I'm not prepared to answer that until we've challenged the premise. When you say, do we exist? It depends what you mean by do. And Clinton kept this going for 4 hours, you know, saying, well, when I said there is no sexual relation between myself and Ms. Nowitzki, this was strictly true because I was talking in the present tense, and at the precise moment I was testifying, and even I am not capable of having sex and giving evidence at the same time.
You know why he's confused? Because he's from Arkansas, where sexual relations means sex with your relations.
Little Rock, I think the place is called, isn't it?
Yes.
That was what Lewinsky's problem was. She was caught between Little Rock and a hard place.
I should take no claim for this joke, be my own. It is one, as I said, during the rounds, but they say now that as Air Force One touches down, the captain says, Mr. President, if you'd like to return the stewardess to the upright position.
Monica told the grand jury she initially thought the stains on her dress were spinach, which explains why she never orders a sag bhaji in her local Indian. Jeremy, who declared off with one's head?
Oh, it's either Charles I's execution. Is it that?
No, it's not that one.
Not that one. Then it's the Queen's head on the euro dollar. On the euro. See, the Queen's head is not going to appear on the euro, which is an outrage, because even though she's not the Queen of Europe, so it's in fact entirely appropriate. But they've been off in Malaysia for the Commonwealth riots, haven't they? Philip's been in the windows going, go on, water cannon them, go on, club them, beat them, go on!
I took this out because I was just looking at this tenor, and it isn't the Queen's head, isn't on our money either, it's Thora Heard. Look at that.
Queen was a guest all week of Malaysian leader Dr. Mahathir, and while on the streets of Kuala Lumpur, people were rioting against an autocratic, out-of-touch leader who owns far too many houses and doesn't like elections, and they weren't too happy with Dr. Mahathir either. Against normal rules of protocol, the Queen signed a Manchester United football with the autograph Elizabeth R., which is a modern trick she's picked up from Gina G and Mel B. Alan, listen to this. You better run, you better do what you can. Don't wanna see no blood, don't be a macho man. You wanna be tough, better do what you can. So beat it. But you wanna be bad, just beat it. Who wasn't kidding when they gave British law a good thrashing?
Yes, I mean, this is the Huns want to stop us being brutal to our children. scene being drawn up, which says you can't knock seven bells out of your children. This is an unfortunate child. He took his stepfather to the European court and got £10,000 for getting a couple of strokes. Rather like the Tory party in reverse, isn't it?
Yes, it was the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg which rules that a 138-year-old British law failed to give children adequate protection and must be changed. Tony Blair said you shouldn't need to threaten violence to keep young, impressionable minds in line. A terse pager message from Peter Mandelson usually does the trick. And the scores at the end of round one are everybody 4 points. And we start round two with a cutting from The Guardian.
Door-to-door conmen in Grimsby have been selling twigs in pots for £5, claiming they're bonsai trees.
Ted Shepherd of Thirlwall for that. Francis, which writer reckons he's ahead of his time?
It's not Stephen Hawking, is it?
No.
No? Right, we'll forget that then.
Yes. 2 points to Jeremy for Geoffrey.
Yes.
He wants two sorts of time, real time and fantasy time. He will live in one and the rest of us will live in the other.
Time zones go sideways, don't they? But he wants them to go up and down as well. And he wants the Scots to be in a different time zone. The Welsh are in different time zones, like 1750.
Master storyteller Lord Archer has drafted a backbench bill to put England and Wales into different time zones from Scotland. With two time zones an hour apart, cross-border transport would be in chaos, possibly even resulting in Virgin trains from England arriving in Scotland at the designated time. The main drawback for the rest of us is, of course, that Lord Archer would be able to get in an extra hour's writing before bedtime. Stuart, who promised sky-high prices every day of the week?
Mere mention of the word sky makes me think...
No, it's not a Rupert Murdoch question.
Well, in that case, then, I shall let go of the wrong end of the stick and say this might be a question to which I have no adequate response.
It's not this report on the supermarkets.
It is.
There's a report done for the Office of Fair Trading, which says that the big supermarkets are ripping us off and overcharging enormously. And the government is going to do nothing about it. Because the trade minister is a man called Lord Sainsbury.
Oddly enough.
And the Tory party is run by Archie Norman, who's the head of ASDA. Wasn't it, these people?
Countess Quicksave is at education. They're good, those supermarkets, because if you've got one of those cards like Switch or Delta, they say, do you want cash back? And it's great, because you go out with more money than you went in with. I'm making a fortune on my shopping. Those cash machines are marvellous. Every time a winner.
friend of mine actually, and this, as they said, true story, was asked at the counter by the checkout lady, would you like cash back? And he said, oh, yes, please, £50. And mine was elsewhere. And she said, well, could you just sign this, your receipt, you'll be familiar with this procedure, to say that you've had it. And he said, oh, yes, of course, and did it. And then noticed she was looking at him rather askance. And he looked down and he had written, I have had it, on his till receipt.
Farmers complained not only about their margins being squeezed, but also about some bloke from Asda who keeps coming around and patting them on the backside. Jeremy, listen to this. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is my concern. He ain't heavy, he's my brother by the Hollies. Who'd rather wait before dealing with a weight problem?
Is it the new anti-fatness drug?
It is.
There's a new anti-fatness drug. And it's going to cost the NHS £400 million, which isn't as much as the private finance initiative is costing it. But it's expensive nonetheless, this drug. And the obvious answer is to say to the drug companies, well, we're giving you 4p a tablet and you can lump it. But they don't say that. They give them lots. So there's this new fatness drug and it's going to cost an awful lot of money.
I've seen this thing they're handing Viagra out at medicentres on British railway stations. You get a ticket for the Brighton train and you take half an hour to work. So you're just going through Croydon. When you get this sort of stirring in your trousers. And by the time you get out on Brighton platform, the railway police will be waiting for you. Couldn't you do brief encounter, could you? Celia Johnson, darling, what's that? It's my trouser peg. I hang my trilby on it.
I think that's why there's such demand for this. Is it called Xenical, I think, this tablet, this anti-fat thing? Because there are all these rather overweight men taking Viagra. And their centre of gravity has shifted, so they're overbalancing. So they have to take this anti-fat pill to get their top half sorted out so that the weight from the bottom half can be accommodated. And it may also be just that their women folk, in John Prescott's great phrase, are objecting to all these other large men who've not shown any interest 20 years and are suddenly leaping on their wives. Great wardrobe crashing onto you. There's keys sticking out of it.
The thing with Viagra is, what was wrong with the old lolly stick and masking tape? That's wrong.
Two points somewhere or other. Alan, where will Fifi's fee be replaced by a chip on the shoulder?
This is dog's ears, isn't
yes.
it? Well, they're doing things so that dogs can move around totally freely. They can have passports to France. We'll replace their ear with a sort of tin lid with something tattooed on it, and then all our dogs can go to Ibiza with their appalling owners. And they'll be wonderful. Consuls chucking in a sponge because pit bull terriers are eating their children. The idea that Britons, I mean, we shouldn't export Britons anyway, but the idea that they should go there with their dogs. Try Germany first is my advice to the tourist guide.
Do you need pet passports? Will they at 2 o'clock in the morning at drunken drinks parties? Jack Russell sitting around going, blimey, you look like John Selwyn Gomer in this.
So we can imagine the chaos with the police sniffer dogs at Heathrow once these pets start arriving. And you've got a Dalmatian on heat going through the Nothing to Declare channel.
It's all about Chris Patton, though, isn't it? Because he's got these dogs called Whiskey and Soda or Bacardi and Coke or something. And he's Beano's finished in Hong Kong, so the government's found him a job, and he wants to get his dogs a job as well, running the pavement fouling task force or something. It's all to do with him.
Well, it's Blair as well. He wants to be able to take his poodle on holiday, because Peter Mandelson hasn't been allowed to come with him until now.
Those at the end of round two, Francis and Stuart, a creditable six, but Alan and Jeremy with a storming 10 points. We start round three with a label found attached to a pair of men's socks.
100% cotton. Helps prevent foot odour, which is probably a major cause of the ozone layer.
Thanks to Fiona Fish of North Warwickshire for that. Francis, who's looking for a novel way out of a devilish problem?
Could it be Salman Rushdie?
Yes.
Thank heavens for that. I thought for an awful moment it might be another Geoffrey Archer question. Well, this is Salman, who since February 1989 has been under sentence of death, this fatwa. President Hatemi, whatever he calls himself, of Iran, this new moderate, in Iranian terms, this chap is regarded as a bit of a Lib Dem. And it is said by the Iranian government that it is moving towards a position where it might sort of rescind the fatwa, except it can't because the mullahs won't allow it, and you can't actually take back a fatwa once it's issued. It's some like flatulence, you know, once done, that's it. I mean, you know, put it back in the bottle again.
Well, they've said they're not going to pay for the job. The 1.5 million reward put up by the Iranian government is only people who want to shoot him for free can shoot him now.
Rushdie was always prepared to enter into a dialogue with the Islamic government. At one stage, this is true, he sent a cheque for £5,000 to an Iranian earthquake disaster fund. But they said they couldn't accept it unless he wrote his address on the back. Stuart, who are enjoying big returns at the Rovers?
Coronation Street people are in a flap of earnings which have been released. I believe that TV's Mike Baldwin, Johnny Briggs, I believe he's outraged that someone else earns several million pounds a year more than him, and so it goes down the food chain of Coronation Street employees until, well, I don't know, I shouldn't say it at the bottom really, but is this the gist of it?
Yes.
And apparently some of the younger cast members are getting 300 quid an episode.
Oh, we certainly get far more than Ken Barlow for just appearing on Radio 4.
I'm glad to sell my house and all its contents to pay for the members of Coronation Street to do whatever they like, I'm sure.
We get luncheon vouchers as well, which they don't.
Tony Blair was at Coronation Street. He was on the set a year or so ago, and some journalist came out. He was up shaking hands with the stars and standing on the set. And this journalist came out and asked him a difficult question. And he said, well, I don't think people are really concerned about that here in the real world.
This week, The Sun revealed the earnings of every Coronation Street performer. Barbara Knox, who plays corner shop owner Rita Sullivan, earns more than Tony Blair, but only since she took over his paper round. William Roach, who plays Ken Barlow, is worth £167,000, according to a recent valuation on the Antiques Roadshow. Jeremy, who experiences a degree of luxury for the first time?
I don't know. Do you know Mr. Corrin?
Don't. Put them out of their misery.
I think they may know on this side.
Yes, we do. Leeds University.
Yes.
Students there who were supposed to be living in Hall of Residence, the builders haven't finished on time. So students are arriving back, finding there's no Hall of Residence, and they're being put up in a £100 a night hotel in Leeds. Coverage of this says, you know, they're wallowing in luxury, they're lying around all day, drinking beer from the minibar, watching telly, never getting out of bed. It sounds to me like any normal Hall of Residence.
No amount of trouser presses could make up for the horror of spending the night in Leeds, though, could it?
Say on their first night in the hotel, the students raided the minibar and then proceeded to make one beer last between the six of them for an entire evening. At the end of round three, Alan and Jeremy have 11 points, but Francis and Stuart are in the lead with 12 points. Before we start the final round, here's a clipping from The Guardian.
It is reported that a gang of thieves have hijacked a van load of Viagra. The police are believed to be searching for a gang of hardened criminals.
Thanks to Terry Hall and the Leeds for that. Francis, listen to this.
I'm coming home, I've done my time. Now I've got to know what is and isn't mine. If you receive my letter telling you I'd soon be free, then you'll know just what to do if you still want me. If you still want me.
Francis, who was overpaid over here and over 50 years late being brought to book?
My spirit writer has come through from the other world saying, Sully, exclamation mark, tree vandal. I think perhaps you'd better explain.
This, I think, is there's a gentleman called Sully of Texas who wrote the words Sully, Texas, in a kind of Texas penknife massacre on a tree in Buckinghamshire when he was stationed here in 1944. And much later, the kind of wizard and ribald jape, a gentleman over here, has just tracked him down and charged him with malicious damage to one of the Queen's trees or something like that. I think he's called Gordon Timmins, the gentleman in England who's discovered this vandalism, of the Aldermaston Atomic Research Police Dog Handling Team, which I'm saying must be one of the most specialised branches of our police force, really. And but it does explain, I suppose, why he was lurking around trees so much. So he's He's, yes, Sully has been brought to book, and I think now Gordon Timmins has gone off to a reunion in Texas, and it's all ended rather marvellously.
Actually called Constable Gordon Travis, who tracked down an American airman called Andrew Sullivan, who left his mark Sully was here on an oak tree near Aldermaston during World War II. Mr. Sullivan said that, like most U.S. servicemen stationed in Britain at the time, he wanted to leave behind a little memento of himself. But unlike the rest, he wasn't prepared to wait 9 months. Jeremy, who didn't actually get shirty when he lost his head?
Now you have it for me to talk about Charles I on Otis. Charles I was executed. We assume that he was guilty and he was the king, and the police didn't just fit up somebody else. He was executed for monarchy. And then his son restored the throne after hiding in the oak tree, burning the spider. And but he got done, and it was chilly that day. And he said, "I won't go out in the cold shivering because they'll think I'm a sissy." So they handed him a lady's nightie to put on, to be executed in, apparently. And everyone thought, he looks mightily butch in that. But so seemingly, I don't know, maybe he just thought, I'm going to die anyway, and I've always wanted to do this. They slipped it on, and out he went, and they cut his head off.
Hasn't it turned out now that far from being hundreds of years old, it's only about, I don't know, 20 years old or something? It's in the V&A in a display case, and I think someone spotted the rah-rah skirt attachment and boob tube. No, it's a fake, isn't it? And they haven't told the Queen.
They haven't told the Queen because it would upset her too much.
Instead of being the V&A, it should have been at the CNA.
I've always thought with the Turin Shroud, if the Church of England had got hold of it, it would have just been washed and put in the jumble.
Charles I was one of several famous people to have a garment named after him. Nervous about his imminent beheading, he promptly invented the roll neck sweater. The discovery has thrown doubts over the authenticity of many other royal exhibits in the V&A, notably their pair of King Harold's Ray-Bans and Queen Victoria's favourite whoopee cushion. Alan, whose poor Vorsprung-Dork technique with the ladies revealed his naked ambition?
It's about nudity?
Yes.
It's about it's not about that man gouged into the hill in Wiltshire with the large Clinton, is it?
No.
It's about Aldi.
Yes.
It's all becoming more clear. It's this chap who, I think, he's a 7-foot-tall builder.
Yes.
And he'd gone to a pub in Cornwall to watch the England-Tunisia game.
Yes.
And
like you do.
And the state of heightened excitement had copped off, as I believe some people say, with an 18-year-old student and gone out to the car park with him in the back of his Audi. And Clinton-esque negotiations ensued. And he interrupted this endeavour to step out to use the toilet. I don't know quite how he was doing it. Anyway, we'll gloss over that. Then naked from the waist down, with presumably a shirt on, which is intrinsically a funny image anyway, but she drove off, never having driven before, unable to drive, and indeed blind drunk and naked. She drove off. It's a lovely image, isn't it? She drove off and wrecked his car, I think. And he then had to walk home 3 miles naked from the waist down to his wife, and in his court appearance, which I think was this week, hence the topicality, he said, "My wife wasn't very happy about it."
Yes, absolutely right.
I thought you were going to say, "No, that's not it at all."
7-foot-tall builder Robert Gregg was left naked from the waist down on the roadside by petite 18-year-old student Alison Kirkby, who drove away naked in his car. Builder Mr. Gregg denied he was about to have sex with Alison in the back of the Audi, saying he was just going to give her an estimate and would try to squeeze her in on Thursday week, depending on how much she had.
We're going to get through this entire quiz without referring to Edward Heath's non-marriage.
No, it's a wonderful story.
Tory grandee, Sir Tufton Beamish, always sounds like a lost Beatrix Potter manuscript. His tale of Sir Tufton Beamish, some kind of squirrel. And they decided the rumours about Heath had to be scotched if he was going to be elected by normal people. And they went round to Maura Limpany, the pianist. And it was just like Beyond the Fringe. They said, "We need a particularly meaningless sacrifice at this moment. Get up in a crate, fly to Bexley and marry Edward Heath." And she said, "No." And that was it.
Right. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along.
Simon, this is from the Oxford Journal, and it's about a new busker's code of practice that's been devised by Oxford City Council to try and improve quality and reduce noise levels from street musicians. And here are some of the salient features of the code of practice: no miming to pre-recorded music, A variety of music should be played to avoid constant repetition of the same tune. The length of time spent busking at any one spot should not exceed 1 hour, except bagpipes, which will be limited to 30 minutes.
Stuart.
This is an apology from a recent edition of The Guardian. In yesterday's G2 supplement, we misspelled the name Morecambe, the Lancashire seaside town. We often do.
Jeremy.
This is sent in by Mr. Rob McIver, and it's from the Sunday Tribune in Ireland. Irish dogs who feel they are not living life to the full may be in for an unexpected treat. A US company has said it will market silicone testicles for neutered dogs if they can get approval from the Irish Veterinary Council. The idea is to give a cosmetic enhancement to the dogs of guilt-ridden owners who let their pooches go for the chop. A spokeswoman for manufacturers Neuticals Naturals said that the company didn't expect any licensing problems in Ireland unless there's some sort of religious problem.
Well, by one of those accidents with which coincidence is rife, Simon, I sort of segue into mine from dear old Jeremy's, because mine comes from Pet Queries column in the Butts Free Press. It says, my children have grown up and left home, my husband is out all day, and I'm looking around for a rewarding outlet for my energies. Do you think it would be a good idea to start breeding with my Labrador?
Thank you all. Let's look at the final score now. Alan and Jeremy have 14 points, but Francis and Stuart have stormed back to win this week's quiz with 18 points. And we leave you with an item from the Daily Telegraph, spotted by Mrs. J. Langdon of Bridport, Dorset.
Weatherby's, the horse racing administrators, have seen fit to employ two people to weed out the amusing names under which owners try to register their horses. They're very clever in the ways they try to catch us out, says Paul Kahn, Weatherby's managing director. We only just spotted Norfolk and Chance.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Francis Wheen, Jeremy Hardy and Stuart McConey. The chairman was Simon Hoggett, and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and Jed Parsons. And the producer was John Rolfe.